Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us all the way from Australia is Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl, we haven't spoken this year. All the best for 2025. How are you?
And 2025 is a wonderful number because firstly, it's 45 squared.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at 45, you see that it's got another property. It's what we call a triangle number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got these weird properties where firstly, it's the sum of the numbers of 1 to 9. So 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 8 plus 9, etc., add up to 45. And then when you square it, it's the sum of the cubes of 1 to 9.
Hmm.
1 cube plus 2 cube plus 3 cube dot, 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 plus 7 cube plus 8 cube plus 9 cube. This is purely a mathematical coincidence. I don't think you can do anything good
anything
with this,
more.
Like
right.
Control the universe or win
yes.
anything, but it is just a little coincidence.
Very interesting. Tell us, we've been wondering this morning when we obviously watching the situation play out in Los Angeles, what is that pink stuff that they are throwing on the fire?
Oh, some sort of fire retardant which makes water go further. There are various versions of it, so it stops it from evaporating too fast. So it increases the boiling temperature. There are different versions, and they have used PFASs in the past. I do not know what that pink stuff is.
Right. Okay. So
sorry, I failed you on that one.
No, you certainly didn't, because not knowing is a very good answer sometimes. Why does the phantom step happen when you get on or off an escalator?
Okay, well, a bit about background to escalators. Escalators have been around for only since the year 1900. They're really a recent invention. And they're a set of stairs that go up at a slow speed, and they go a loop, and they come around and around and around. And when they brought them into somewhere like Harrods in London, people were so upset by it that at the top they had to have a free glass of cognac to make them feel better. They've gone through various evolutions. They've got one wonderful property as a people-moving device. They'll still work when the power goes off. So a car or an aeroplane stops working when the power goes off. But escalators, you can still walk up them. By the way, the reason that walking up them is awkward
mm-hmm.
is that the step-riser ratio is 1 to 1. So in a normal step, you step up one unit and then you step across maybe 2 or 3 units, then up one unit, then across a couple, whereas in the escalators is 1, 1, 1, 1, up, across. So what's the trouble with the phantom step? Firstly,
yeah.
There's a weird mix of a weird imbalance between what your eyes see and what your balance does. So I'm going to ask you to do a little test now. Can you close your eyes?
Yeah. You're
doing this for me, Dr. Howard?
Of course.
Close your eyes, and with your eyes shut, put your hand way out to the side
right.
and extend your finger, and then try to bring your finger
yeah.
onto the tip of your nose. Can you do that?
I just missed, but I was almost there, but I did. Yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty close,
there
right?
We go. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that with your eyes shut,
mm-hmm.
some part of your system knows
yes.
where the tip of your finger is, where you're, right? So when you stand on an escalator, you immediately go into a weird mix where your eyes tell you that you're moving, but the inputs to your body, the balance and so forth, it says you're not moving and your leg's not moving. And so you end up with this mismatch between what you see and what you're experiencing. There's another thing in there, because normally when you're thinking about walking is actually a series of controlled falls. And when you're on a set of stairs, you're not catching your balance each time, and you're standing stationary still. And if you just stand still and you're not going anywhere, that's fine. But if you're standing still and you're moving, that does something to your brain with the visual cortex. So that then helps set up that sort of everything's not quite right for getting off on that fall step. And then finally, when you do get off, you realize that if you just get there and stop, people will run into you from behind. And so you've got to do an awkward step where you go from not walking at all to walking quickly, and you're going from a moving surface to a still surface. And so all of those combine to give you this so-called well-recognized phantom step. It's well-known
amazing.
In the literature.
Absolutely incredible. Let's talk about dogs and cats' ears. We always have this argument, you know, well, you know, how long is it for a dog, and how, you know, just explain how this works to us.
Well, firstly, they age a lot in their first couple of years. So if you just say a cat or a dog year is like 7 human years,
yes.
Well, at the age of 1, they can have babies.
Right.
Humans so can't have babies there. At the age of 7.
Mm.
Yeah. So what happens is that they age a lot in the first couple of years, like 9 years in the first year. It varies on the breed of dog. Yeah, 9 years, then 6 years, then 5, then 4, then 3, and then it gradually tails off. So there is a very simple rule, which is, you know, you just multiply it by 7, but that fits into the category that they taught you very, very early on in physics, which is that for every problem, there is a solution which is easy to understand, intuitively correct, but 100% wrong. So don't multiply it by 7. You look it up for your dog if you want to know how old your dog is, and different breeds age at different rates.
Ah.
Oh, and then by the way, with cats,
yeah.
Domestic cats can live up to about 17 years, whereas wild cats, 2 years is kind of it because life out there as a wild cat is pretty rough. On the other hand, in Australia, cats kill, I think, a million birds a day, which works out to about 12 birds every second.
Hmm.
So they're not a good creature to have in Australia.
Wow. Let's talk about skin. Skin has its own immune system. Does it really? How does that work?
Well, you've got the epidermis, which is cells, which start off as tall columns, and as they migrate to the surface, turn into round blobs and finally flattened plates, and then they fall off. And then underneath that, you've got the connective tissue, like collagen, which is the most common protein in the body. And then underneath that, you've got a whole bunch of other things like other connective tissue and elastin, which makes your skin elastic. And we, for a long time, we recognized that skin was your largest organ, about 1.8 square meters in area and roughly 1/6 of your body weight. So if you weigh 60 kilograms, your skin is 10 kilograms. But now we've just discovered that skin actually has immune properties. It has immune properties and it actually makes its own immune cells. So in the immune system, one way of looking at it is that one branch makes cells and the other branch makes chemicals, and your skin makes both types of cells, the B and the T cells, and it makes a whole range of chemicals that we're just learning about now, which we didn't realize were there. And the it even makes structures that attract the chemicals or the cells to them, and it has its own immune function. And so they did an experiment where they got a common but harmless skin bacteria and they modified it so it carried a tiny, tiny amount of the toxin that causes tetanus. You've heard of the disease tetanus, where you get paralyzed and all that bad things. So it wasn't the whole bad protein that causes tetanus, it was just a tiny, tiny fragment that causes the bad things in tetanus, which is a tiny fragment. But that was enough to trick the immune system in your skin to make these rats that they did it to immune to tetanus for 200 days, which is how long they carried out the experiment for. So we're heading down a pathway of vaccines that can be delivered just by simply rubbing them on your skin. Your skin is not just a passive spacesuit that protects you from the outside world, but actually has a whole lot of active functions.
Absolutely incredible. Dr. Carl, amazing as always. That is where we leave it. It is 7:43. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.